Well, hundreds of newspapers have ceased printing or have moved to subscriber digital services in recent years. But there's one newspaper with a unique readership which continues to thrive. Inspired by a similar newspaper in the UK, About Time launched locally in Australia in 2024, written largely by current and former inmates around the country. The hope is it makes inmates feel more connected and that it offers a window for the wider community on what the world is like behind bars. Its founder, Joseph Friedman, is a lawyer whose career was inspired by outrage over miscarriages of justice and wrongful convictions. And while he wound up for a time in corporate law, he was pulled back to criminal justice and social issues of founding the prison publication after 2.5 years of planning. I'm pleased to say that Joseph Friedman is my guest today on Changing Australia. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Sally.
When you were younger, Joseph, what were you seeing around you that drew you to studying law?
I guess it was a mix of reading and listening and watching various coverage and content about miscarriages of justice, particularly in the US, wrongful convictions and some people who might have been executed, even though it was likely that they were innocent.
How much of an effect did that have on you?
Quite a lot. It definitely led me to, want to study law. It took me to the US where I volunteered for an innocence project representing people whom we believed strongly were innocent of murder and taking them through the post-conviction process and trying to have them exonerated on appeal.
What was that like, that exchange program in Wisconsin, dealing with those cases?
It was really powerful. It was the first time I had been in prison. I went to a prison in Wisconsin, a prison in Georgia, and just to kind of experience what it was like for people living in prison and almost accepting their fate, even though it was likely unfair that they were there. It was heart-wrenching, really, and it made me want to keep doing that work in some way, shape or form.
Are there cases that stuck with you from that exchange, Joseph?
Yeah, for sure. I was on a team. We had 4 or 5 clients across the country, mostly in the Midwest and South region. And what was really hard is that the post-conviction process takes many, many years and usually it fails. So we had one client, a Georgian man named Albert Debelbot, who was in jail for the alleged murder and convicted murder of his son. And it was highly likely, we believed, that the son had actually died of natural causes of sudden infant death syndrome. It's one of these shaken baby syndrome cases that people might have read about. And 4.5 years later, the Georgia Supreme Court overturned his conviction. I was well back in Australia by then. When I was in America, it was just defeat after defeat after defeat. But it was incredibly affirming to get an email to say that Albert had been released. And it made it all worth it, although it's important to remember most of these cases don't succeed.
Mm. Being part of those clinics and the communication with offenders, how do you manage hope in a situation like that when you know it's going to be difficult, even if you believe this person has been wrongly convicted?
I think it's a weird thing to say, but it's harder for the people on the outside, the lawyers and the team, than the people inside, because they've accepted their fate and they're so brave about it. And so you're definitely not too hopeful, but they're the ones who are almost kind of reassuring the lawyers and the team that if it doesn't work, that's okay because you've done all you can.
How did you first learn about a publication in the UK, Joseph, that was for, and in part written by those people who were incarcerated?
Yeah, it was kind of totally incidental. I was listening to a podcast from a UK-based media organisation called Tortoise Media, and it was an episode about a person who would have been in prison, and he'd learnt that the crime for which he had been committed, that law had been somewhat reinterpreted by the UK's highest court, and it meant that he could have his conviction reviewed. And he said in the podcast, I read about it in Inside Time. And so I Googled Inside Time, and it turned out Inside Time was a prison newspaper in the UK that had been around for 1990. Basically a 60-plus page colour newspaper that goes to every person in prison all across the UK every month, and most of the content comes from people inside. And I knew a bit about the world of prison journalism and media, and I knew it didn't really exist in Australia, and I just thought, like, what an incredible thing this is.
What did you do to try and learn more about this project in the UK, Joseph?
So I sent an email to the founder and the publisher in the UK, John Roberts, and we got on a Zoom call a few days later, and I just really picked his brain about how it came to be and what it's like and how it works. And then I just thought, okay, like, it makes sense. It seems to have support. Like, maybe I can try and put this together in Australia.
So what did you decide to set up here in Australia?
Yeah, a very similar thing, and a prison newspaper, which took, as you said, about 2.5 years of behind-the-scenes work until launch in July of 2024, and it's called About Time, and it's very much a newspaper for people in prison, by people in prison. It started off in Victoria and New South Wales, and as of this coming August, when the Northern Territory distributes an edition for the first time, it will reach every person in prison around the country.
What was it like trying to get the permissions from various governments and bodies to be able to get access to get material for this paper and have the paper distributed?
It differed depending on the jurisdiction. So it's one of the difficulties about our federation. We have 8 separate states and territories, which means we have 8 separate corrections departments, and you need approval from each one to distribute in that location. Victoria, New South Wales were actually very quick to say yes. We sent an email to the commissioner, who passed us on to a delegate, and we had a meeting and away we went. Some of the jurisdictions were more difficult. But I think that the positive media coverage and the letters that they were reading from people in prison and the effect the paper is having on people inside, and realising that we'd do all the work and it would only help their prison population, eventually led everyone to say yes.
What kind of material, stories and accounts and letters and other things, are you getting from incarcerated people?
So we get about 25 plus letters a week. So if that continues, we'll get more than 1,000 letters per year from people in prison all around Australia. They write a handwritten letter and they send it to our mailbox, and we read it and we review it, and we publish as many as we can. It's stories about their past. It's stories about the hopes of the future. A lot of it is advice to other people in similar positions, maybe people entering prison or people who have just entered prison. Exiting prison or people who have just come in. How to endure on the inside and find a better way on the outside as well.
What happens if you receive letters that are making allegations of abuse or other concerning behaviour within the prison system?
Well, fundamentally, we're a news organisation with a chief reporter, and what we want to do is report on potential abuses of authority. And so if there are credible allegations, we'll look into them, we'll investigate, we'll seek comment, and we'll try and publish. If a person is writing more about personal circumstances and legal issues, we might write back and encourage them to contact a community legal centre, for example.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest on Changing Australia this morning is Joseph Friedman, a publisher of a prison newspaper called About Time. Is there censorship or approval from the corrections authorities, Joseph?
Yeah, it's a really important question. And one of the difficulties in Australia is that we lack explicit free speech protections, unlike the US and to a fairly large extent the UK. And so what it means is that each corrections authority kind of has total authority to decide what goes in and what goes out of prison. And so each month we send a draft copy to a delegate of the commissioner of each jurisdiction and they review it. But we've kind of garnered and fostered a relationship now that pretty much all the content goes through untouched.
Mm. What are some of the stories that you've received that have really stuck with you?
Oh, just last month we had a special Mother's Day themed edition where we were profiling mums inside. And one of the letters we published was from a mum who's locked up in New South Wales. Her name is Hannah. And she's on remand, and she spoke about how she's got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. And it's too hard for her to tell them where she really is. And so she creates stories and she tells them that she's an astronaut, and if they look up to the sky, they might be able to see her. Kind of gut-wrenching stories like that, stories of families who aren't together at the moment, but so personal, and I think really helpful for other people to generate that community of people in such an isolating environment.
Do you go inside regularly to speak with incarcerated people to get their feedback on whether the paper's hitting the mark or not?
Yeah, so we try and seek feedback in various ways. We run workshops in a couple of prisons in Victoria and one in New South Wales, and we're trying to expand that, not just to seek feedback, but also we bring in professional creative writing teachers and academics to help people in prison write their own stories. And we also ask people through the paper to send us their feedback. We actually pay for all postage from people inside to About Time, so they can cut out our survey, fill it in and send it back for free, so we can know what they like, what they don't like, how we can make the paper as best as possible for people in prison.
How do you approach the reality that many people who are incarcerated have had cognitive issues, head injuries, things like hearing loss during school, and may not be able to express themselves to their full wish and to be able to read the stories of others?
Yeah, it's so important. It's not just important to help make the paper accessible, but what you're saying, Sally, that so many people in prison have cognitive issues, we want to make the wider public aware of that as well. And we talk a lot about that in our stories and in our articles that we publish to the free and outside community as well. But specifically to your question, we're really focusing on accessibility. So Vision Australia Radio actually reads many of the articles and letters from About Time in a radio program inside prison every month. We know that a lot of people in prison read the paper to their cellmates who might not be as literate. We're also really working on accessibility. We're making the font size larger and more spaced out. If you look at a physical copy of About Time, it might look a little bit different to an ordinary newspaper. There's a lot more kind of colour and life and larger font. So we're always thinking about accessibility.
How do you fund it?
It's funded through two main sources. The original source is donations and grants from philanthropic foundations. We're a deductible gift recipient, not-for-profit. We're currently running an end of financial year campaign, and donations are incredibly important. But we're conscious that we can't rely on donations forever. And what we want to do is also focus on advertising revenue, like an ordinary newspaper might. Of course, we have a very different audience, and the relevant, I guess, advertisers for our audience in prison are often lawyers, exactly. Yeah, and everyone kind of laughs when they hear, and then, oh, that makes sense. And so it's personal injury firms, it's criminal lawyers, for the most part, who are really interesting in advertising in About Time.
Joseph, it's been really interesting to hear the story about Time this morning. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Sally.
Joseph Friedman, founder and publisher of About Time. If you have a suggestion for changing Australia, you can send it in. The place to do that is online, abc.net.au/changingaustralia. You can submit your ideas there. I'll give that to you again, abc.net.au/changingaustralia.